From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The Humane Society of the United States and other animal welfare groups filed a lawsuit Tuesday to restore federal protections for gray wolves in the Western Great Lakes region that were lifted last year. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in the District of Columbia against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and its parent agency, the U.S. Department of the Interior. It says the decision to take wolves in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan off the endangered list threatens the animals' recovery throughout most of their historic range. Hunters and trappers in Minnesota and Wisconsin killed 530 wolves combined during these states' recently concluded seasons. 413 in Minnesota, 117 in Wisconsin. The Michigan legislature voted in December to authorize wolf hunting, which could resume as early as this fall. A U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service spokeswoman said she could not comment on the lawsuit, but the agency took the wolves off the endangered list because the population had recovered and followed the law in doing so. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued a statement saying that putting wolves back on the list would not be in the best interest of the animals or state residents. Michigan is expected to make a decision on wolf hunting this spring. Officials say if a hunt is approved, it probably will be limited to parts of the sparsely populated Upper Peninsula where wolves have preyed on livestock and pets. A spokesman for the Minnesota DNR declined to comment until officials could review the lawsuit. Union workers at the mail processing center in Duluth were told Tuesday that the facility would close sometime starting in July or as late as 2014. The Duluth News Tribune reports that less than half of the employees would be offered positions elsewhere. Peter Nowacki, U.S. Postal Service spokesman in Minnesota, said the employees were told the news as part of a contractual obligation, but there is no set date for closure of the mail sorting station in Duluth's Lincoln Park neighborhood, nor is it clear whether the center will close or whether congressional action could intervene to save it again. The Duluth facility and its nearly 100 workers got a reprieve last May, spared in the first round of budget cutting that closed 140 processing centers nationwide. The closures were made as the Postal Service moves to consolidate operations to help stop its ongoing financial losses. In Minnesota, the original plan was to sort all mail in the Twin Cities area. Centers in Mankato, St. Cloud, and Rochester were scheduled to close, while Duluth and Bemidji were spared. Rochester's center is closing this month. Cliffs Natural Resources officials said the company has been testing new direct reduced iron taconite pellets at two of its Minnesota plants, North Shore Mining in Silver Bay and United Taconite in Forbes near Eveleth. Joe Caraba, Cliffs CEO, said the company has been making test batches of taconite pellets that could be made into direct reduced iron in electric arc furnaces. According to the Duluth News Tribune, the company said the key was reducing the silica level of the pellet. It wasn't quite clear in which of the two Minnesota plants the final pellet improvements might be made. The move to a much purer form of iron pellet would open a new market for the company's taconite iron ore pellets, which now must go to larger blast furnaces to be made into iron and steel. More companies are using the direct reduced process of steelmaking since the price of natural gas used in the furnaces has dropped in recent years. Esser Steel on Monday said it would supply DRI-ready taconite pellets from its new plant going up in Nashwauk. Mesabi Nugget is producing directly reduced iron nuggets at its plant near Hoyt Lakes from iron ore concentrate recovered by magnetation from old waste ore dumps. Last week, the governor's budget was a hot topic at the legislature, as were several proposed changes in gun laws. I spoke with District 3A Representative David Dill for his take on guns and taxes. Wanted to chat with you a little bit about your reaction to the governor's budget and how you feel about the sales tax provision in particular.
Well, it's going to be very difficult, the entire budget, because one of the problems is that the state has been on starvation since the beginning of the Jesse Ventura year when they were giving money back, which they should, because when we got too much, we should be thinking about what to do with it, and he thought that was the best thing to do. And then the plenty years, as you know, that no new taxes unless you consider, which I do, shifting it to local governments as new taxes. I mean, that was kind of a phony thing. And now we're suddenly trying to change everything in 1 year. And so, frankly, I don't think the governor's budget will pass as written. There's some controversial things in there. Sales tax, business-to-business sales tax on services, as you're aware, haircuts now, lawyers and accounting. And so it's going to be an uphill battle. We need some new revenue, but we need to do better at efficiency and cutting as well, and making us run by far more efficient even than we are already. And it's not like there hasn't been huge cuts. For example, in the forestry division, you know, I have a fair amount to do with the DNR. In the forestry division, they're holding 100 vacancies open, 100 out of 270. They're holding 100 open. So when people think we haven't cut government, they're wrong. And this is, we've made major changes in the way the government is structured, and we still have more to go. So it's going to be difficult. One thing that might affect the Cook County, if the governor's budget were to pass the state, is the snowbird tax. There's a lot of people that have a wealth that come up to Cook County and have homes up there that might leave the state because the governor's proposing to charge that income tax on essentially all of their income that they make, even if it doesn't originate in Minnesota or even the United States, if they're in the state for 60 days plus one. So that is a controversial provision, and in a place like Cook County, it could have some impact.
But we still have to put a budget together because we're in the hole. So where do you think some of these compromises might come?
Probably, I'm thinking that the fourth-tier income tax on Minnesotans will pass. I'm thinking that a sales tax will be, the base will be broadened. Now, exactly on what, I'm not sure. And places of that nature. Those are two of the major streams of income that come into the state, sales tax and income tax, mm-hmm. capital gains and what have you under the income tax. So the legislature is going to put together a budget and a tax plan to support it. The House and the Senate will then work out the differences and eventually pass it. One bill, send it to the governor and see what his appetite is. And if his appetite is different than what the legislature's is, then they'll negotiate and we'll go back to the drawing board. This happens. This is not something unusual.
Now, in the meantime, one of the things that last week the House Public Safety Committee took up were proposed bans on assault weapons, background checks, a number of different things. So where do we stand, in your view, on meaningful gun legislation this term?
Well, there's a considerable portion of the gun legislation that was proposed that really isn't going to happen. And so what is going to happen is a discussion at some point when all these hearings are done in the House and the Senate as to what can be accomplished that has a net effect on reducing some of the problems that have occurred out in across this country. A considerable amount of the things that are being brought up here in the Minnesota legislature are things that would normally be and should be, in my view, taken up at the federal level rather than making gun laws a patchwork of laws across the United States, state by state by state. I'm thinking that at some point a meaningful piece of legislation will come forward. One thing that might be included in that, or likely will be included, is upping the penalty for a straw buyer. And beyond that, there are some other things as well. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I think is interesting is the body armor bill. Well, I mean, I've had so many calls. I've had as many calls on the body armor. I mean, I have had calls from motorcyclists who wear body armor. I've had calls from hunters that wear body armor. And yesterday I had a call from a fellow that runs a machine lathe. His whole company makes pieces and parts. And his employees wear body armor to protect themselves for things that might or might not fly off of a lathe. I thought that was interesting. I had never heard of that before.
Sounds like that one might need a little refining.
Anyway, so yeah, it's going to need a lot of refining. And frankly, those more controversial bills, they aren't going to pass the House floor. They may not even make it to the House floor.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.